Lord has given us this opportunity for sharing creation truth, and it's more than just much more than just contradicting evolutionary fairy tales. And what comes to mind, even just the least little hint of doubt in evolution, will garner big response sometimes. Like on Facebook, one time there's this page called, I think, Creation versus Evolution. I think it's what the heading or the title of the Facebook page is. And I had known or been made aware of by someone else that it was stocked with evolutionists. And, you know, the idea would be to draw in unsuspecting creationists so we can pounce on them, you know. But I forgot. Someone told me about it, and it was some time back, and I forgot, and I saw this thing show up in my thread. And it was a rather benign question. I forget the question. But I just put on there in a response to that question, because it had to do with creationism versus evolution. You see a concern there? Pastor, I'm going to use my brand new tie. That's what ties are for. I got mush on my glasses. But no, I just got this tie. Opened it last night. I thought, I got to wear that tomorrow morning. I actually had it on. I said, Heather, would this... I had a purple shirt. She said, whoa. But she said, I liked it. Anyway, where was I? Right, thank you. And I went on that in response to that, whatever the question was, that had creationism versus evolution. Do you see a little difference there? The ism. Think of isms. That you're aware of. Calvinism, Mormonism, Catholicism, you know, these isms. Are they, I don't know of one, Pastor, you might know of one, that's an ism, that's a good ism, that's a truth-based, what? But these isms, by and large, all that I could think of were false doctrines. And then we put this ism on creation. And by and large, you see evolution, no ism. So I just made a simple statement. I said, we choose to put the ism on the end of evolution. And you know when you get responses on your phone, it was like ding, ding, ding. It was dinging. Not quite like seconds on a clock, but I just finally had to, you know, opt out of that thread, stop receiving notification. It was a lightning rod. Just that little one sentence. All it was one sentence, Pastor. And they will jump on you if you believe creation. So this card, I encourage you, this is one of my favorite ones that highlights the soft tissue on the back. Just a few little pictures from the internet. And, you know, that's really has been found, soft tissue and a T-Rex thigh bone. Now, that's great to preface, you know, when you say something about the blood vessels, flexible. The contents of some of the blood vessels could be squeezed out. You know, to the average person on the street, the average cashier or waitress or whoever, you know, you just say a little bit about, even if you don't have time to say anything, this is interesting about dinosaur soft tissue, to say that. And it's intriguing because of the millions of years. Very well. That's so indoctrinated, our culture has been indoctrinated with it. And you're coming at them with something that goes against that, clearly goes against it. So then you could share, after sharing this, you say, did you know that even a whole body of a dinosaur was found? Innards intact and everything? No way. So just sowing seeds of truth that counteract the lies that doubtless we've all been indoctrinated with. So it's more than just that. And I say just, that's a big deal. That's critical. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So look at Acts chapter 4 as we begin, and I'm going to try to finish up what I had at the very end of Sunday school that I neglected for time's sake. Select some of these slides from Sunday school. I've been learning how to use this program, updated program. Now I can. Hey, that's pretty cool. I think I'll do it. But Acts chapter 4, you see, when the early believers, who in particular, Peter and John, is it? Yes, verse 19. Peter and John said, verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21, they were threatened. Have you been threatened for preaching the name of Jesus? Anybody in here? I see a head nodding over here. I have not yet. Well, if you include being kicked out of a museum, I guess maybe that would be in there. Really, we were. I won't go into the whole account. But just for handing out to people that work there cards like these, we were with a group of missionaries during a missions conference. And we came through Indianapolis, or that area, on the way here. And the Children's Museum, anybody heard of that in Indianapolis? We saw a billboard for it, and it reminded us of what happened there. They kicked us out. 5 security guards, dressed all in black. You would have thought you were in a foreign country. I kid you not. And we weren't standing at the door and making a problem, just as you paid for, or in our case, our hand stamp, we were guests with someone else in the group. And there was probably about 20 to 25 of us in all. Missionaries, families, with children. We were all kicked out of the Children's Museum like we were thieves or something. It was a shame, and took us all off guard. But verse 23 and 24, being let go, they went to their own company, reported all the chief priests and elders had. Now, were they tattling? Were they complaining? Were they saying, woe is me? No, they just told them what happened. And what happened? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you know what all we're going through. We're having a hard time. It's really sad what they've done to us. Is that what they said? No, you're God. You've made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And then they start quoting Scripture. Wow. It's not just anti-evolution. It's pro-creation we are this week. And that helps everything. When you're down and out, when you're facing persecution, as they were here, being threatened with, they straightly threatened them, verse 17, that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. So they were threatened, commanded by the religious establishment, wasn't it? The high priest, verse 6. Yeah. The Caiaphas, John, Alexander. What was it? The rulers, the elders, verse 5. The scribes. So the religious establishment told them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And so were they complaining? No. Their prayer shows where their confidence came from. The Creator. Well, let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this week. Bless Heather as she ministers to the children. And we just want to lift you up for who you are as our Maker and as our Redeemer. And we love you, Lord. And this week is just a blessing to be able to have it. And we pray that you bless this time in Jesus' name, your Son, the Creator of all. Amen. Well, I decided this message this morning, I'll just have to split up between this morning and tonight. And then it's the first of the series I've called It's a Jungle Out There. And, of course, I've shared with you before, Singing Science, Summer BBS, are three S's that you may remember about us, using earthly things as a springboard to heavenly. And so, like Jesus, as He told Nicodemus, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, so what are some of the earthly things that Jesus Himself used, as we referenced earlier? Man that is born of water, as Moses lifted up the serpent, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Okay, so He used a number of things in His conversation with Nicodemus. So, we're doing like Jesus, using His earthly things, using the tools that He has given us to minister. And I think we can all do that. So our jungle theme is this week with God's gators, the serpent. Boy, there's so much that could be mentioned about the serpent and the lifting up aspect. Consider the king, big cats. There are two new cats we're going to add this week. Did I mention those earlier? The sand cat. Anybody heard of the sand cat? And my favorite, the Jeffrey cat. I kid you not, Joffrey, like a G. I just never heard of it before until just a week or so ago. The Joffrey cat, I guess is how it is. Anyway, in Hosea chapter 13, God said unto His people Israel, I will be unto them, particularly I think it was the tribe of Ephraim, in judgment on them. I'm going to be as a lion, as a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear. That was last year's theme. We included the bear. Bereaved of whelps, and I will rend the caul. I looked that word up, Pastor. It was the container of the heart. I believe it complied to the everything surrounding, including the ribcage, which would contain the organs. Caul their heart, and there will I devour them like a what? A lion. We're going to share with the kids. The word and the animal appears at least 154 times. If it's mentioned one time, every word of God is important. It's 154 times important. Not just as a word, as the word lion, but it's an animal that God made as well. So, amazing. Not only the big cat presentation, but the snake presentation are my favorite two, I think, of all of our themes. But monkey business, not so much our favorite. It's more so because it's serious things that have to be discussed, like Hitler and the Holocaust, as I mentioned earlier. And then we'll share on Thursday evening some intriguing things about the Congo and unusual critters that are said to exist there and even alleged by our friend Cam, which I'd hope to get a one-on-one interview with him. So the audio and the video isn't because we didn't get it before the summer. But we ask for your prayers as we develop, as the Lord allows, Set Foundation Ministries, not to replace what we're doing, because we're going to keep doing Creation Family Ministries, but something, I don't know, more of like-minded individuals that want to participate with us in Set Foundation Ministries, and I would call the group the Men of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And that's First Chronicles, not Corinthians. I tried to put Corinthians and Chronicles together in that word, didn't I? Chronicles. And so in 2020, which will be 20 years for us in Creation Ministry, we've got at least planned three conferences, North Carolina, in our home area, basically, and Virginia, and then hopefully in Tennessee as the museum, the Creation Museum, not the Creation Museum, but the Creation Museum from Creation Truth Foundation, Noble, Oklahoma. So I do have a video, but I couldn't find it for this morning, and it wasn't playing. But we have had the Creation Museum from that ministry. This will probably be our fourth time having them. And you all would love, if you can come to North Carolina, or Middle Tennessee might be closer for you. Gospel Tabernacle Baptist Church in Middle Tennessee. I know you'd be greatly impressed and blessed by this phenomenal museum. The models that they have, they are built, they are research replicas. And I'm told that means a research replica of a bone, fossil, whatever, can be more exact than the real thing, because they're made with material that won't degrade like the real fossil, the real thing. So these research replicas, though, have been made to come apart and to be packed into their trailer, which is a phenomenal thing by itself, how all that goes in to a 40-some foot fifth wheel cargo trailer. So our goals and plans were set, continue Creation Family Ministries, exactly what we've been doing, but was set having leaders' luncheons in conjunction with each one of these conferences. The men of Issachar, which would be ones kind of like a, for lack of a better term, the board of directors. I avoid the business terminology of the day, but you get the idea, more so a board of directors, just helping group leading the SET Foundation. We have a website as well for setfoundation.org. That's what it's called. Training others, and the Lord may have been bringing us our first one to train. There's a Pensacola Christian College. She's finishing up next year, and she had gone to her teacher of, I think, apologetics class and asked how she might get involved in teaching creation to children. And so her teacher knew of the Martins. The Martins we've had at our conferences before. Dr. Joe Martin, you may have heard of him. The videos on our table. He started with Incredible Creatures That Defy Evolution series. And now they did the Creation Proclaims series, that's just on our table. And so we've had the Martins for our conferences. So the Martins just forwarded that email from that teacher onto us. And so it might be like the cloud, in the Old Testament, the cloud of the size of a man's hand that this young lady is Jocelyn Luke. So somebody to train in creation ministry and to send for is the idea. So pray as we contemplate and plan for these things this next year. And then various outreach efforts like Doubt Darwin Day. So it has to be more than just some museum, a good creation museum in Kentucky. Or the Ark in Kentucky. Anybody been to the Ark Encounter? Great. A number of you have. We have yet to be able to go. We plan to, hopefully, this fall. So anyway, we've tried twice and it didn't work out. Last fall was the last time, and then we had the emergency come up. And so we praise the Lord that it didn't happen in Kentucky, but the emergency happened in North Carolina in our home area. So that was a silver lining. So let's consider creation for a little bit this morning. When do we end? Was it 1:30 or 2? Or no, that's why we can cut it off like a bread and slice it off, and we'll continue this tonight type of thing. But we already looked at Acts 4:24. I didn't remember this was in there. But anyway, we'll go on. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Interesting. Some of the negatives help pave the way for the positive. See, some of the travels we've had, some of the responses to various things that we've had out. We were in a meeting in Florida some years ago, and this meeting included school chapels during in the morning, like 10 o'clock in their Christian school, and meetings in the evening. So it was a great, great time to share. And some of the folks could come if they wanted to, in the church, who were retired or whatever. So this one church member was there, and he was looking at our stuff on the table. I just had one table set up with different fossils and things. And he just kind of said something like, we have evangelists. I mean, just out of the blue, we weren't even talking. He was just looking. And, we have evangelists come in, and they preach Bible messages and such. But all you have is this. I had to chuckle inside, Pastor. Because, that was some years ago. I still was learning, and I still am. We all are, but still just getting my feet wet, basically, with creation ministry, but I don't know what I said to him. But anyway, another situation involved a question that I thought for a time to try to help a pastor that we knew, and what comes to mind when you think of creation, I asked. And after about, 30, 40 seconds of awkward silence, well, nothing really. And this pastor had once taught at a Bible college down south. It's really scary that this answer came from him. Just, I was ready to respond with whatever, so it didn't really sink in at the moment, that non-answer. Nothing, really. Can you imagine saying that, Pastor? To the question, what comes to mind when you think of creation? The heavens declare the glory of God, or some ministry, like a creation ministry of some sort that's been around a long time, ICR. It was amazing. Another pastor, you go overboard on creation. Someone we've known for some years. This was actually secondhand by the previous pastor. The previous slide had said, this pastor says you go overboard on creation. So they were both, he would be in agreement, if you will. Still yet another one. These were all in a home area, by the way. The devil has got you sidetracked on creation. How diabolical that is. And coming from a pastor. These are not to say, oh, woe is me, poor me in creation ministry. This has helped you see the need. These have congregations under their leadership, if you will. This isn't just to say, like I said, woe is me, or woe, help us out, pray for our ministry. No. It's a need amongst us. It's a need in our midst. It's not just out there. This was on Facebook, by the way. And he, in the same post, he said, throw out all the arguments about the Bible. There's some more. Of course, it was longer. And just get started focusing on loving people. Well, what book tells us to love even our enemies? And the foundation for this book, unto a loving Creator. He's loving Creator, and He shows it in all His creation. So some of these things, they just don't make sense. So while setting up for a meeting one time, some of the positive, one pastor, now an assistant pastor, why don't more preachers get this? And Pastor, I just had to say, I don't know. And we're talking about what's so-called Bible Belt. And more I've been saying the Bible Belt needs to be belted with the Bible. I know you all aren't in the Bible Belt per se, but we need to be brought back to our foundation. And in many ways, the we is we in churches. Christians, believers. Another good quote that came, I don't remember, it's been so long, I don't envision myself asking for anything like this. So I think Brother Riley had just emailed me this. He said, I'm surprised that other evangelists have not focused on the foundational truths of how creation affects every aspect of our spiritual lives and how much damage evolution has done to our way of thinking and has penetrated so many different areas. And I praise God for ones like this that's waking up. So I showed this earlier but didn't elaborate on it. And in many ways, we've got a lot of activity going on. Good, bad, indifferent. Sometimes I'm just throwing all churches, liberal, conservative, whatever in this. There's a lot of activities going on in religion. We'll just put it that way. So I just gave, illustrations, even community service. Sometimes liberal churches will be involved in, if there's a tragedy of some sort, flooding, hurricane, they'll be involved in doing good things, like for the community. I'm just kind of lumping it all together. So without the foundation, creation science, well, science, isn't that supposed to be for school? Well, we do have Sunday school. And Pastor, you probably studied this out, that it was begun to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. to poor children. Do we do that today? No. We've relinquished those to the public school system, haven't we? Now, you know, in so many years, we've been trying to reclaim some of that with a Christian education. But we've avoided talking about different things, so-called ape men, in millions of years. So when people are hit with these things, with degrees, with the science, and I'm even talking about young people who grew up in Christian homes, Christian schools. And Pastor, you hit it earlier. Christian schools are just as needy. We're not educating. And I have personal experience myself. Christian high school, Christian college, a Bible preacher training college, and not one of those did I have apologetics as a class. We had Bible doctrines. We collected one college class. We collected doctrinal statements from churches as one project. But never did I have, in a Tabernacle Christian School in Hickory, North Carolina, our former church, Tabernacle Baptist Church, Pensacola Christian College at the time, did not have apologetics. They've had it more in more recent years than when I was there, I'm told. But also Ambassador Baptist College. Pastor, I think more and more we need to name some names. Name some names. Not in anger, but to help people wake up. Help people wake up. I'll be sure there's a quote. I don't know if I have it in here this morning. No, I saw it. When it comes to ambassador, the last time I was there, I set up for a missions conference. And the missionary head of one of the well-known mission boards, I can't remember which one, so I'm not going to say because I don't remember. But it was a well-known mission board. And Hebrews chapter 11, you know it, Hall of Faith chapter. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it starts with creation. It's escaping my brain right now, tired brain. But it starts with creation. And he has a whole series of messages that week of missions conference. I don't remember the man's name, but a younger man. And he didn't reference creation one time. Not once. I'm curious for myself, though, quoting Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand worlds were framed by the Word of God, verse 3, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he had a series that week. I forget the title of it. And folks, that was speaking to college students, the ones training to be in the ministry, the ones to go out and affect others for the Lord, and just totally left out creation. Now he had good messages, you know, good messages on the different characters of faith. But the very first character of faith, the one who produced, who's the foundation for it all, created the world, was left out, was ignored. I don't want to leave God out. When you have no foundation, what happens? You have no basis for your faith. That's the basis for the rest of that chapter. Wow, it needs a message on that. Anyway, I can't get off on that. So consider creation. Biblical creation helps lawbreakers to understand who the lawgiver is. It helps sinners to know who the Savior is. It helps husbands to better exemplify the bridegroom. It helps wives to fulfill their role as the bride of Christ. The bride, I'm emphasizing these terms that are scriptural terms, helps parents to better exemplify the Heavenly Father, helps children to obey their Abba Father, helps doctors to care like the great physician, helps politicians to know who's really in charge, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, helps pastors to lead like the great shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus, helps teachers to know who gives understanding, helps students to learn from the master teacher, helps Christians to know they serve the Creator. Biblical creation brings true and lasting revival. I mean, do you walk with Jesus just here in church? Is the only Bible you get here when we meet together? Or do you read and memorize, do you work on that throughout? What if we recognize God all the time? Might that help us when we're tempted to sin? Does He not know our thoughts? Our words, even before we say them? I don't care how many times we do wrong as a believer. Confess, Lord, help me. And not wait till church time, to an invitation time, to get right. No. Walking with God, moment by moment. And I'm talking to myself, folks. Oh. So that would be true and lasting revival. So Psalm 8, when I consider Thy heavens. It's not just looking, but considering. You ever stepped out and just looked at the heavens? Just look. And just stop for a bit. You know, with the lights of our cities and such, you know, we got a lot of light on earth that kind of distracts us, doesn't it? But when we were out in Montana, the first time we went up to Columbia Falls, Montana. Anybody been to Montana? Big sky country? Then you know. The trip took 2 days from Colorado to Columbia Falls, Montana. And never will forget this. When we stopped, we had to overnight dry camp, and it was fine, you know, night and the cooler temperatures and everything. And so there was a trucker who had already pulled over this pullover site, and all his lights were out. He's probably snoozing. And so we were getting out of the truck, and so when the lights were out, it was just dark. Pitch black. And so what light draws your eyes? You draw them to look up. You look for a few moments, and then there's 3D. It's like, whoa. It's like your eyes adjust, but it's amazing. Just, it's like going to the Grand Canyon and trying to tell somebody else what you saw. You have to experience it. We're going to talk more about the heavens tonight with global warming and different things. But consider the heavens. What did the psalmist say? What is man? The one who spoke those stars into existence came to this little planet as a man, as a baby who grew up and went to a cross to die. What is Jeff? He would be mindful of Jeff or you. So consider the heavens for humility. When we start to think we're something else, we need to step outside and look up at the heavens. Consider the ant. God says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be what? Be wise. Not too long ago, We've been parked at a church in our home area that, praise the Lord, we had two churches take us on for support since the first of the year, since January. So praise the Lord. And this one church where the pastor called and said, if you need to park at our church, just feel free anytime, just let us know. And so we now have keys to three different churches. We must have trustworthy faces, but we have a key and code to get in and everything. So back behind this church are some woods. And you could tell where there was a pathway at one time, and it's all grown up. So I just went exploring one, and there was this huge ant colony. Probably, well, because of the growth, I couldn't tell how big. But with the leaves and everything, it looked to be at least this big around. And ants, larger ants. So I just went, and I took some pictures, video a little bit, and post on Facebook, you know. But I'm just standing there, and we're just sitting there just watching those ants. I don't know what kind. I don't know if they're fire ants or what, so I'm not about to disturb them, step anywhere. But just fascinating. And we'll read some from these books here about the ant in our series this evening. But they're called a people, not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So consider the ant for wisdom. Consider the lilies. I'm going to hurry here. We're going to elaborate more the series this week, Jesus said, "Consider the lilies." Have you heard that song? "Consider the lilies." I don't know the rest of the words, but anyway, for trust, consider the ravens. "Are you not better than the fowls?" Jesus said. So using His creation to teach, consider the ravens for worth. How many people are committing suicide nowadays? Even people who claim to be believers, committing suicide. That's affected even our own families. Both Heather and myself, our grandfathers on our dad's side, both committed suicide. And so it's a shame what's happening in our land. We need to consider creation. Consider God's creation. Consider Christ, the builder. In Hebrews 3, we read, "For this man, that is Christ, the high priest, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful. For this man counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as he who hath builded the house hath more glory, more honor than the house." That's who? Jesus. So consider the Christ, the builder, for faithfulness. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And we'll continue this this evening. But that's an important word, provoke. Someone some time back said, "I just prefer the word encourage. Let's encourage one another." Well, it's not the word encourage. It's the word provoke. What does that make you think of when you think of the word provoke? Something namby-pamby, nice-sounding? No. Now, I don't know about down south, we might say, "I was provoked." I don't know about y'all. Y'all say something like that? Does that mean something like "I was encouraged"? No. We're going to talk more about this evening, but let us consider one another for accountability, to provoke unto love and to good works. And then we're finishing up quickly here because I know the time is different because we started at 10:30. Consider Christ the Redeemer, who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest what? Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So consider Christ the Redeemer for what? Endurance. So that we don't quit. Did Christ quit? Did He give up on us? No. Then how can we give up or quit on Him? And like I said, continue this evening. I want to finish with this morning, dealing with the dragon. I have a message by that title, Job's Response to Dinosaurs. And, that's back to the beginning. I have so much, Pastor, I want to share. I just don't know what to share this morning. I want to just finish with this, as I was just talking about. You know, just to be honest, sometimes I've been, I don't know if you call it tempted to say, "Why don't I just do something else?" You know, it just doesn't seem to be, other than the summer meetings, you know, that VBS, that meets needs, and particularly small churches and everything. But during the school year, it's like I have to create, I have to work, you know, it's like, let's do this conference, and the Lord brings in the money. I'm not complaining or anything. The Lord has met our needs. But the temptation sometimes is, why don't you just go be a pastor, you know? Why don't you just do music ministry or something like that, just something normal. And then something, the Lord will bring something across, you know, that'll happen. I can't think of a specific right now that, you know, this is why you're to keep doing this. And I'm going to finish with this illustration. There's a young man, I still call him young, he's in his 30s probably now. His name is Andre, and he went to Pensacola Christian College. And within the last year or two, just most recently, I had to block him from a thread. He loves to argue. And if you don't listen to his line of reasoning, then he'll just keep, you know, needling. And he thinks his arguing is logic, but it's his logic. And to help me see where he's coming from, he suggested that I read a book by atheist Richard Dawkins. I think that was the one. One of those types of books. I'm going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my time. But this young man went to Pensacola Christian College. He's bitter at something that happened there. Grew up in a Christian home. Did not go to a Christian school, but went to Christian college. And more we're seeing ones like him. That it doesn't matter really what the background. It could be a Christian home, good Bible preaching church, Christian school. The seeds of doubt by Satan, yea, hath God said, have been working their way, have been being used through evolutionary, humanistic ideology. And none of us are exempt. None of us. So, Pastor, if anything, this ministry strengthens me. And Andre has lent his ear to the other side. So much so that now he's, in a sense, antagonistic toward anyone who believes the Bible to be true. And what was sad to say is he went to one of those pastors I quoted earlier for a question with some of these questions. And it wasn't good. When he told me he went to that pastor, I was thinking, oh no. Oh no. I hate you went to him. I didn't tell him that, but sad. But it didn't help him at all with the answers that he got from that pastor. And we need to pray. We need to pray for churches across our land. We need to pray for young people across our land and believers across our land in general. And let's do that. Father,